The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus, upon entering Jericho, passed through the city, and there was a man there named Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, and he was a wealthy man. He was trying to see what Jesus was like, but being small in stature, he was unable to do so because of the crowd. He first ran on in front, and then he climbed a sycamore tree, which was along Jesus' route, so that he might see him. When Jesus came to the spot, he looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. I mean to stay at your house today." He quickly descended and welcomed him with delight. And when this was observed, everyone began to murmur, "He has gone to the house of a sinner as a guest." Zacchaeus stood his ground, and he said to the Lord, "I give half of my belongings, Lord, to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone in the least, I pay them back fourfold." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to your house, for this is what it means to be a son of Abraham. The Son of Man has come to search out and save what was lost." The Gospel of the Lord. Final line of the Gospel certainly gives us a great clue as to many of the Gospels that we have listened to recently. Did you notice? Good. Convince me. Yes, of course, going back to September 11th, the Gospel on that Sunday was lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. And from there on, Jesus maintained that same theme, that same directive. Lostness is important to him. It may not be to us, but it most certainly is to him. He wants to find those who are lost. That is his mission in the world. That will be hard to believe oftentimes when we hear the proclamation of the Gospel or a lot of the evangelical preaching. We get an impression so often, and we have had plenty of that impression as Catholics growing up, "Hey, he's out to bust you," right? Yeah? Is that your experience? No? Yes? Well, it certainly is an integral part of the teaching. Today's parable, delightful, absolutely dramatic. You like it? Good. What do you like about it? You got what? You got a chance? Good. Absolutely. Good point. What else? Calls him by name. That's pretty cool. We all like to be called by name. There's great value in that. There's a sense of endearment and trying to know and trying to understand. What else? Pardon? He doesn't look down upon him? Oh, people's eye, that's not really important, but thank you, Cindy. Yeah, people's eye we give a lot of credit to. What's really important, and that was dramatic in this parable, what Jesus thinks about you and me, that's pretty important. The rest is peripheral. It's really important. If I could interiorize that, it wouldn't matter a single thing about all of the others. And to the extent that I interiorize that, all of the other parts fail. It's a very important parable. It's very much like last week's parable in many ways. You see the connection? The Pharisee and the tax collector going up to the temple. The contrast of the two, one telling God how well he's doing, as if God didn't know and understand, and the other telling God how much I need your mercy. One of them went down home justified, as Jesus said, and the other, he stayed much the same. It's a great dramatic scene. Imagine if it were just today and Jesus is coming in. Would you like to be Zacchaeus? You sure? Can't make up your mind? Hey, I think it would be brilliant. I would love to be Zacchaeus with all of my faults and failings and sin and all of the other stuff, and that he would see me. That he would recognize and celebrate. The real contrast is, it sure was disturbing for a lot of others. Very much like the parable last week, can you imagine how the Pharisee would have felt? Wow, he would have had some serious issues with the Lord looking at Zacchaeus. He would be most likely inclined to think, well, he should be coming to my house, right? And those are the great nuances in the parable. On a head level, it's nice story. On a heart level, it's really a heart story. Because it's about healing. And it's about mercy. And it's about how to improve important relationships in life. So many people start at the other end. Many of the people gathered there in the crowd around Jesus, they started at the other end. They knew what Zacchaeus' problem was. They had hammered it out often, and they adjudicated it often, and it made them perhaps feel a little better. Now, in truth, it didn't make them any better, no question. Give them a feeling that maybe they were a little better. But in truth, it didn't improve their lives one iota. It doesn't improve my life when I can look at somebody who is worse off than me. That would be pathetic. It would be absolutely pathetic on my part that that's how I feel better, because I'm better than somebody who is really down on their luck or who just doesn't have it going. But that's quite how it operates quite often in the world. So many people begin on the other end. We have a judgment about the individual, and a lifetime may not change that judgment because that's how we know them. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God. Because that changes everything. So often we are stuck in what I know and what I believe and what I trust. The gospel is an invitation to know what he believes and what he trusts and what he sees. Zacchaeus went out on a limb, right? Haha, really? Pretty funny. But it's true. It's a very important point. Very, very important symbolism. Have you ever gone out on a limb to try and find the Lord? What have you done to really try and experience him? Very easy, just as for the crowd around Jesus, they griped and they complained and they didn't want the other person to receive the grace and the blessing. They wanted to receive it, but they weren't willing to go out on a limb. It's very Catholic. We like to be spectators. We like to offer our own critiques and everything else, and we like to observe at a safe distance because we're afraid to get up close. And so we take care of our obligation and our responsibility, and we say, Lord, I'm faithfully there, and I'm there more often than this one or that one, all peripheral. Jesus is inviting us to a much deeper experience. Look at how it happened. It was so good. He spots Zacchaeus out on the limb and in the tree. Zacchaeus, he just wanted to see what he was like. He had heard a great deal about him from some people around. He knew that he was drawing a crowd, and he felt like, hey, I'll go along to see what he's like for myself and see what he does. He wanted to see what he looked like, and he also wanted to see what he was like. He found out both of those things in a much deeper way. He had an experience of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it was about. Zacchaeus' lifestyle was totally contrary to all the things that Jesus stood for. No doubt, people expected and hoped that Jesus would read the riot act to him. And when he stood under the tree, that he would point his finger to him and say, I know what you're like. That he would call him out. We are happy so often when people are called out. Jesus didn't operate in that way. Or had Jesus snubbed him, they would have celebrated. Had he done so, it would have enhanced his popularity among the people for sure. But Jesus refused to read the riot act because that's not who Jesus is. No matter how much we like to paint it that way at times, for convenience or to engender fear in people, that God is going to get you. Jesus did not identify himself as that God. Instead, what he does, he does something that made him immediately unpopular in the midst of the local people. He asked Zacchaeus if he could come to his house, and Zacchaeus surprisingly said, sure, come to my house. People complained. That's what we do. When we don't like it, we complain. And they complain, see, he's going to the house of a sinner. Hey, there was no other house to go to. Really, there wasn't, not another single house to go to. The only problem and the difference between them was he recognized his sin and was willing to acknowledge it. The others, they couldn't get there. So they began to complain, he's gone to the house of a sinner. They hated Zacchaeus. They despised him. They talked about him. They criticized him. They didn't want to see him saved. Tragedy of that is, there's a great truth in that. So often we sink into that same space. We don't want people to be saved. We want to get the grace and we want to get the benefit, but we sure don't want the other person to have it. Why? Because we despise them. We're unwilling to forgive them. We're unwilling to reconcile with them, and then we become resentful, and then we become hateful, and then we become spiteful, and then we want to do things to them that are just not appropriate and that are not for us to do. Zacchaeus was in that kind of a position with the people. They didn't want to see him saved. They wanted to see him condemned. They wanted to see him punished. Because isn't that the reality of our lives? We become victims of our own sin and our own failing, and we begin to despise and hate, and we begin to withhold forgiveness. And then we don't want anybody else to receive it either, but ourselves. But Jesus didn't think like that, thank God. He saw that what Zacchaeus needed was not condemnation, but salvation. There was no question of whether he deserved it or not, because nobody does. It's the free gift of our God. That's what this is all about. It's the free gift of our God. It's offered freely and on the same terms to everybody, but one has to claim it. Nobody deserves it. It is not a deserved position. We don't receive it because of our goodness. We receive it because of his goodness. There was no question about deserving it. He needed it, And Jesus saw that clearly. That was enough for Jesus to act and respond. And by coming to his house, in the face of the angry disapproval and the criticisms and the murmurings of the others, he showed Zacchaeus how much he really loved him. That's what he wants to do with each one of us. But we like to hold back. Why? Because of fear. And it's really a story about fear and love. The two opposites, the polar opposites on the continuum of life. Had Jesus avoided him or condemned him, the miracle would never have happened. But that was the hope and the anticipation of the crowd. And maybe that is our hope and anticipation at times, that the miracle of God would not be effective. Zacchaeus experienced the love of Jesus. Must have been a wonderful experience for a man who, up to this particular point, had experienced nothing but judgment and criticism and murmurings about him and judgment. Must have been a really awesome occasion for him. Because that's all that matters in the final analysis. To be loved in one's goodness is no big deal because we think we deserve it and we work on that merit system in our everyday lives. What is really valuable is to be experience love in our badness. When we haven't changed and we haven't adjusted, that has the power to change everything. And by being loved in his badness, in his weakness, in his sin, for Zacchaeus, that was magical. And his conversion experience was pretty instantaneous. Why? Because seeing the goodness in the other really has the power to bring new life. When we see the badness in the other, we get them to close up. And their little hearts close up as well. If you want to bring forth the best, look for the goodness, the peace of God that is in every one of them, every one of us. Look for that peace. If you want to bring goodness and if you want to be better yourself, look for the goodness in the other. It will never fail. It always opens the heart. And the only way the heart can be converted is by the heart or by love. Zacchaeus experienced the surprise of being loved. What a difference from his daily life. And that's all that mattered. Then he could certainly give four times or whatever. There was no limit to what he could give because he was loved in the Lord and by the Lord. And his conversion was to goodness. Every one of us could do with a little of that conversion. And maybe the central piece of the parable is, why do I go to gather around Jesus? Why do I come to Eucharist week in, week out? Is it because of fear? As many of us have been taught. Or is it out of love? Only one of them makes real sense.